Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into our 4 o'clock hour here on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We're going to have a Tuesday trifecta next hour. Really looking forward to that. Should be a good one. We're going to ask for reasonable people to be reasonable during a very reasonable Tuesday trifecta that's coming up. For reasons that I really can't even understand, I sat down last night to once again experience the majesty of that fourth quarter of Game 7, and I'm telling you right now, as a Warrior fan, don't do it unless you really like awkward and uncomfortable and painful. Like, if you're a cutter, do not watch it. Don't do that. It almost turned me into a cutter. I was looking for a sharp object. Brian Geltzeiler, who we had on yesterday to talk about it, just tweeted, watching Game 7 again, Curry's nonchalance and flat-out quitting on many plays was absolutely galling. He didn't even work hard on the floor. Yeah, I'm telling you. That Curry behind-the-back pass, I mean, like, you better be Steph Curry, or that's unforgivable. Like, the only reason why you're still allowed in city limits is because you're Steph Curry. But that was a pass that was beyond stupid. The world's melting down around you, and you're trying to razzly-dazzly entertain us with a highlight play? It's like, dude, wake up and smell the moment. And it's surprising to be Steph Curry steamrolled physically by a team and mentally by the moment. And it's a real good thing he's not going to Rio, because he could use a little time off. I think this season caught up with him. The attention caught up with him. The highlight, the hounding, it all caught up with him, and it just all came together to work against him at the wrong time. So, Tony Bruno, we're having a little trouble tracking him down. He must be eating a cheesesteak or something. We'll get to him when we can, because here's the thing. We're guest-free this hour, so we'll get to Tony sometime a little bit later this hour, hopefully. Brian Windhorst is going to join us at 5 o'clock. John Morosi at 6 o'clock. And then our friend Chris Townsend is going to be back by about 6:15 with the A's dugout show tonight. Let's get back to the callers talking about this finals. The team that got more buckets than any team I've ever watched couldn't get a bucket when they needed it the most. The Warriors got physically pushed around and it broke them. They missed their last 9 shots of the game, and my God, you're going to want to scrape your own eyeballs out of your head if you go back and you watch that fourth quarter. Rodney's calling from Vallejo. What's going on, Rodney? Appreciate you listening. Appreciate the call. What can we do?
Damon Bruce, I used to live in Vallejo. Now I'm representing the EG, Elk Grove. I love hearing you.
Nice.
I love hearing you. You know what? I don't know if you're cool with this guy or not, but I don't want to get you mad. But the Greg Napier show sucks.
Oh, well, first of all, I like Grant an awful lot. Grant's been good to me. Grant's a good guy, but thank you for listening. I do appreciate it. But
you know, Sacramento talk shows, they suck. All they talk about is the Kings 24/7, 365 days a year.
Well, that's all they got. What are they supposed to talk about? That's all they got.
You know what? I mean, Bruce, I love hearing you. I call you during the football game. I told you they're going to hire Chip Kelly. You know, remember I told you that Jimmy Tomsula was just a puppet?
I think of it every day, Rodney. I'll never forget that call. Okay. What can we do for you?
You know, they always talk about Bob Myers this, Bob Myers that. The true architect of that team is Jerry West. If it wasn't for Jerry West telling these guys what to do, the Warriors wouldn't be in this position right now. I believe Jerry West is the true architect.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that Jerry West did more to keep Klay Thompson and not make that trade for Kevin Love than anybody else in that war room. I think it's a trade that Bob Myers might have made if Jerry West hadn't advised him against it. And, I mean, I know they didn't win a title this year, but it certainly worked last year. It came really close to working again. And right now, Las Vegas says that they are the chalk to win it next year. There's a lot of reasons to believe that the Warriors are still in very, very good shape. And they are. There aren't too many teams. As a matter of fact, I don't think there's any team in the NBA that would that the Warriors would trade their immediate future for. Not the Cavaliers, who just won a title. Not the Thunder, who just pushed them to seven. So, you know, we got to calm down just a little. Later on this hour, I want to read you an article, highlights of it anyways, that I saw on Bill Simmons' new website, theringer.com. And it's maybe the most rational, thoughtful framing of where the Warriors are and what they're going to mean to the future of this game that I've seen written about them. Randy's in Santa Clara. What do you got, Randy?
Damon, you are so missing the point, my man, on this whole thing with the Warriors. I mean, how can you completely ignore the circumstances that led to the meltdown? It's like saying, okay, LeBron wasn't there, Irving wasn't there, which we heard all season last year, but it's okay. You know, they should have won.
Here's the thing. I never hung the Warriors title on that hook. So I'm not going to use it now as an excuse to play to say things. And look, I mean, they made their own circumstances. The Warriors were almost solely responsible, outside of Bogut's injury, and maybe Bogut doesn't get injured if Draymond Green is playing in that game because he's not on the court or whatever, who knows. But look, Steph got to the finals and gagged on it, man. He had the worst finals an MVP has ever had in the finals. If that's not coming up short, I don't know what is.
Of course they came up short. But look, both teams were completely gassed, okay? Probably had no legs. That's why everybody wasn't hitting anything for almost 5 minutes. So,
and maybe then it'll show you that if you want to live by the three, you'll die by it easily too. And maybe in the playoffs, 2 points are better than three.
Okay, well, consider this, though. When Irving hit that three, it was clear to me, okay, it's it's Cleveland's year. You know, that was not an impossible shot, but an extraordinary shot where nobody was hitting anything. And you know, what would have happened if the Warriors had won? It's quite possible, maybe probable, they get more cocky, they get a little complacent. No, them losing was a good thing because they're going to come back.
Randy, I love you. And thank you for letting No. There's no way to spin them losing that as a good thing.
It's your view. Is the glass half empty or half full? You mark my words. They're going to come back and win three in a row.
Well, look, they just, Randy, they just won an NBA championship and then set the record. Hunger was not an issue. Hungry never came up this year. It wasn't about being hungry. They won a title and came back better than that. So the whole, like, oh, this will be good for them. Now they'll finally focus and get better. You know, they'll hit the grindstone again. Dude, they were grindstone the whole way through. You know what would have been the best thing possible? Them winning the finals and repeating. I mean, you really got to change the way my brain synapses fire to sell me, believe me, this loss is going to be good for them long term. No. I cannot buy that. Bleacher Dave, what's going on, Bleacher?
Man, they got up 3-1 and relaxed. That's what happened to them. They should have won that game without Draymond, but they figured, oh, we're going to come home, we're going to roll them. The parade settled for Thursday.
And you know what?
Yeah, it's all good.
Without Draymond Green out there really setting the tone, it was up to Curry to do it, and Curry's tone was, no urgency, fellas. Like, we got this. Don't worry about it. Like, we can completely throw away game six and be blown out within 3 minutes of tip-off and, like, no big deal because we got game seven at home. Like, Curry was nonchalant in his action, in his demeanor, and in his exit.
Yeah, I'm not going to hang on to individuals. It's a team sport. You win together, you lose together. That's the stuff we saw all season. And if you weren't critical of him for that during the season, it's hard to become critical of him for that, you know, in the finals. Did you see the meme with the trophy replacing that ball in a behind-the-back pass?
That's
hilarious.
It's like the best use of the internet I've seen in 2016 so far, really. It's symbolically perfect. Thank you for the call, Bleacher Dave. We got to take a quick break. Look at that. By the way, my lines are going bonkers right now. So you tell Bruno if we do catch up with him, let's do like quarter till because we're rocking and rolling. We slow down for no one, not even the great Bruno. That is how we call people. We learned that yesterday. Gianna's magic phone. Here it is again. Are you proud of that?
I am so proud of that.
You should be proud of that. I think look at it this way. Without you, this show would have almost zero likability.
Or sound effects.
There'd be nothing associated with this show that is even close to adorable. Thank God you're here. Danny, not adorable. Connor, not adorable. Me, I'm the opposite of adorable.
Well.
Thank God we have Gianna around here.
Well, thanks.
To gussy up the adorable factor of this show. Because this show's been pissed off since Game 7 ended. Your calls, more of them, next here on 95.7 The Game. And again, if you missed that phone number, here it is.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome on back. You know, it's really, you know, we had the caller last hour saying, Damon, wait, this isn't all choke. Why do you say that? No, look, the Warriors gagged away three in a row when they hadn't lost three in a row in 3 years. Falling back on habits we haven't seen in 3 years. Wasn't supposed to happen. There's not a single indicator throughout the history of basketball that says you win that many games and then you go on to lose a title. Never, ever, ever, ever until now. And that trumps like, oh, Draymond got suspended. Even with Draymond's suspension, BPI, the Basketball Power Index, which we, you know, reminded you of every week, still had the Warriors favored to win the whole thing. Very, very disappointing to say the least. The worst 4 minutes of the year were saved for the last 4 minutes of the season. What the hell was that? And there were, you know, some indicators that this wasn't all just the Cavaliers. A lot of it lay on the Warriors because, guess what? They played their worst two road games of the year pretty much in games 3 and 4 in Oklahoma City. Then they played their worst finals game on the road in game 6. Everything that was great about this team was hard to find when the basketball mattered the most. But on a Wednesday night against the Phoenix Suns, they sizzled. You know, I mean, it was too bad. Too bad. And we saw them step up and answer the bell in last year's championship run. That experience was supposed to matter and be the difference. And damn it, didn't happen. Didn't happen. Frank's in Oakland. Frank, thanks for the call. What do you got?
I love Joe, and you got to love Gianna. She's like apple pie. She just makes you warm and gooey.
Thank you. She does. Absolutely. She's like the frosting, all the good stuff in life.
She really is. I like that. But like I said, I love the show. Few things. It's just bad habits that finally caught up with them. You know, believing your own hype after a while. Going pride. I mean, the pick and roll was working for him. But, hey, Curry, he was trying, and then he choked instead of just passing dishes. If they gave up 48 points in the paint. But like I said, bad habits follow you. They've been doing that all season, and we were jaded because the threes would always cover it. But it's on the coaches not to correct that and figure that out. It's like in Major League Baseball. When you got a pitcher going heat, that next year everybody figures him out. Everybody made changes to beat the Warriors except the Warriors.
Here's the thing. I don't know if and I still don't even know if anyone figured them out as much as they burnt themselves out. They were playing the worst 4 minutes of the season. While they missed the last 9 shots of the year, 4 of them were good looks. Real good looks. You know, and I still don't. I won't even admit that the Cavaliers got them figured out, but the Cavaliers are enough of a matchup problem. Slow down Curry enough to now, you know what? Here's the thing. The Warriors didn't have to play but 4 or 5 games of honest basketball all year. They got to get away with murder. We are going to 3U and DU, and we'll probably be up by 18 somewhere in the second quarter, and you will mentally give up on that game, and we'll be able to coast. And the NBA is built for you to kind of like take a night off every now and then. The Warriors never took a night off, and that's a noble thing, but, you know, it left them looking like they were the Mord fatigue. How about this? I think we could all agree on this. The Warriors were all about incredible speed and energy all year. Who had more energy in the finals, the Cavs or the Warriors? The Cavs by a lot. Isaac in Berkeley. What's up, Isaac?
Hey, thanks for picking up for me. I want to agree with that last point emphatically, and it leads into my point I want to make about coaching. You guys are getting a Steve Kerr pass. The man was sick for half a year. I love Steve Kerr. He's got great upside as a coach, but the man was sick for half a year. He came back and he never took possession of the team. Azealia was hurt. Did he get any big man coaching? No. That's the coach's fault. Draymond Green chewed him out, chewed his own coach out in February. Did he get the bench? Popovich would have benched him for a month. No. That's the coach. We had Steph Curry saying, oh, we're going to go for 73. Was that a priority for the coach? No. It was the player's priority, but it was the coach's decision. He let them go ahead and make that decision, and that's why they were fatigued at the end of the year.
But
he should have kept his eyes on the prize.
That's fair to say, coach. But have you ever
hold
seen
on,
a team? Have you ever? No, I tell you to hold on. That's how this works here. Have you ever seen a team with more chemistry, though? Have you ever seen a team get along better than this one did? Kerr might have played a card or two wrong, but he sat at the table. Like, I mean, I'm not, I think it is ridiculous to say that the 73 wins prevented the Warriors from winning. The 73 wins set up Game 7 on your home court. Like, but for 73 wins, you're not there. This whole, like, oh, they played so hard every night. Well, I expect teams to play hard every night. That's why they make millions. What does it say about us that we allow, like, oh, well, you know, a mulligan game. Don't worry about it. He should have called a timeout. I mean, that's the thing. You want this isn't like Draymond didn't have, you know, like there was a power struggle between him and Kerr. No. This really, Kerr let his team down by going to Azealia when Azealia was tripping all over his own you-know-what in that game. And then not calling a timeout as his team is peeing down its own leg. We'll play through it. Well, what happens if you don't? And here we are, not having a parade on a beautiful Tuesday. Would have been a nice day for a parade. Mike, Walnut Creek. How are you, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing well. Love the show. Thanks for having me on. I just think, you know, from what I've heard up to this point, not enough credit's been given to LeBron James and how he changed the tide with his tactic at the end. And I don't know if he stumbled upon this out of desperation or what, but when he went WWE mode at the end of Game 4 and threw down Draymond and then stepped over him, I think he found something there that then he parlayed into taking advantage of that tack to basically beat the Warriors on physicality to the point where they were essentially taking them out of their rhythm offense, which is what Clay and Steph need in order to get free, especially with Steph being hobbled the way he was. He couldn't get free. Tristan Thompson and Love were essentially locking him down on, you know, man-on-man D. The guy couldn't get free, and they were just manhandling him and taking the energy away, and they had no answer. And I think in the end, what it came down to is that the Dubs didn't realize, I think, what was happening to them and didn't match that physicality and that energy and didn't want it as much as the Cavs. And because LeBron, the guy came up with a phenomenal strategy where he basically just said to the NBA, you know, go out and, you know, we're gonna hack 20 guys on every single play.
Yeah, we are going to dare you to blow a whistle every single time down the court, and we bet you won't. And they bet correctly. I'm surprised taking advantage of the lousy officiating around you wasn't more of the Warriors' plan. Especially on their home court. Especially on their home court. Danny Crawford, let me tell you. Do not go back and watch the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game. It really is. It looks like Curry didn't care. And I'm not saying he didn't care. I know he's hurting bad today. But, you know, I know this team, its tendencies, and its body language very well. And the body language in the last 4 minutes of Game 7 is the weirdest-looking Warrior team you're ever going to see in your life. But the future should be very bright. And before we come back and just take calls, I want to dive deep into an article that I found on theringer.com that if you're a depressed Warrior fan is going to make you feel better about everything. So if you need a little pick-me-up, definitely stay tuned. We are going to go glass half full next.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Everybody likes to pile on. Let's talk about the Warriors in a different light. Let's talk about the good that they showed us and where this is pointed towards in the future. One of the best things I've read about the Warriors comes from TheRinger.com and a writer named Jonathan Jarks, T-J-A-R-K-S. It's like, dude, you're in the media. It's called a pen name. Get one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like when Anna started here. I'm like, you're going with Kagaragis on the air? That's okay. Have fun with that.
That flows. We're all used to it now. Anna Kagaragis. Well, that's,
yeah, I mean, it works, I guess, now, but.
I understand.
It's like you can do with whatever you want. When you're going with. It's like, how do you pronounce your last name? Hi, I'm Jonathan. Nice to meet you, Mr. So anyway, he did write a great, great article, though, about the Warriors on TheRinger.com. And I just want to share some of it with you, and I think a lot of you fans will be happy to hear this. The natural temptation as we age is to build up the past to tear down the present. LeBron James has spent his entire career trying to break down those walls of dismissal, and the Warriors are now facing a similar challenge. The players we grew up with will always have an outsized presence in our imagination, the same as movies we watched and the records we listened to. Yeah, if you had asked me if I was 7 years old what my favorite TV show is, it's Dukes of Hazzard, without a doubt. And then it was followed by the A-Team. You go ahead as an adult, try to sit through one episode of Dukes of Hazzard or the A-Team as an adult. I dare you.
Dukes of Hazzard couldn't do it. A-Team, maybe.
A-Team is even worse.
Is it?
It really is. It really is. The shows that I loved as a kid now make me feel worse about my, like, kid self. I'm like, I was a stupid kid. Back to the article, written by Jonathan. I don't know how to pronounce his name. The mark of an all-time great champion is that they can conceivably succeed in a future era. That's why most of the discussion about the Warriors' place in history is retrograde. They're great, but not because they could have competed in the 80s. Rather, those Lakers, Bulls, and Celtics teams are great because they could have competed in the 2010s. Basketball is consistently advancing, and only the great teams of the past would have any chance of keeping up. The Warriors have been at the forefront of the small ball revolution, which has taken over basketball in the last few years and is fueled by rule change, increased understanding of the most efficient ways to play, and the changing skill sets, of the players involved. Sports move forward athletes improve. The game progresses. The Olympic champions of the 1980s would struggle to succeed in the 2000s. When you consider improvements in training and technology, Mark Spitz and Michael Phelps are nominally competing in the same sport, even though it's just swimming. It's the same in basketball. The players in the 80s and 90s have no idea how to use the three-point line. It's probably not a surprise that second-generation professionals were the ones to do it. What would it say about the game if Klay Thompson's team, which benefits of 30 years of advancements, couldn't keep up with his father's? What would that say about us? Therefore, whether the Warriors could match up with the great teams of the past is irrelevant. What's more interesting to ponder is how they would match up with the great teams of the future. The game is changing at a blisteringly fast pace. We saw it, the evolution in real time over the last two seasons. The Grizzlies and the 2015 Cavaliers tried to club the Warriors into oblivion with a caveman style of basketball before succumbing to the lineup of death. The name of the game in the NBA is versatility. The best teams need waves of athletes who can defend multiple positions and switch screens with ease. Just look at the top of this year's draft. Ben Simmons is a power forward who plays like a point guard. Brandon Ingram has the length of a center and the shooting ability of a wing. Dragan Bender is a seven-footer who's just as comfortable on the perimeter as he is in the paint. And that trend will only continue in 2017, in 2018, and who knows what players are going to look like by the time we get to the 2025 draft. Because guess what? They will have grown up watching Steph and LeBron. Maybe LeBron James Jr. will be one of them. And that's the ultimate legacy of these Warriors. Whether they win three more titles or whether they win, never win another. They took what Don Nelson and Mike D'Antoni started to its logical conclusion, augmenting greatest shooter of all time with lineups composed of 6 and 7 foot wing guys who blitz the rest of the NBA with a combination of shooting talent and defensive mobility. They forced the league to adapt to them, and the results have been some amazing basketball over the past few weeks. Early Vegas odds have the Warriors as early favorites to win the title next season. If they're going to pull it off, they're going to have to be better than this year's iteration. Let that sink in for a moment. We're in for an incredible future. I thought that was really, really well, a reasoned, step back, look big picture article. I think it's fantastic. You know, forget about the Warriors going to compete with the 97 Bulls. Do you think this Warrior team will be able to compete with the 2035 whoevers? And the answer is probably, because the 2035 whoevers are looking at this team for their inspiration.
Right.
So if you needed a feel-good article, I thought that that was one. Let's take a real quick break and then come on back with more of your calls to wrap up this hour, letting you know that Brian Windhorst, one of the best who covers the NBA for ESPN, is going to be joining us at 5 o'clock. I'm looking forward to that conversation. I think you should be looking forward to it as well. You know what I really think? Fair or foul or nuts, you're going to say, there hasn't been a reporter and an athlete linked together since, like, maybe Ahmad Rashad was up Jordan's rear end every day and Howard Cosell with Ali. Like, Windhorst covered every single minute of LeBron, so who better to put that in a frame of what we saw, what it means back in Cleveland to have a title, and what the Warriors plan on doing this upcoming offseason. What you think about that article, the Warriors' place in the future of basketball. Let's get into that next. 888-957-9570.
Demon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
A very positive outlook on the Warriors from that last article we read to you. Again, it's on theringer.com, written by Jonathan T-Jarks, let's call him. T-J-A-R-K-S. I liked it so much I'd say book him on the show, but I'll never be able to pronounce that name right, so forget about it. 888-957-9570 is the number. DJ in Oakland, what do you got, DJ? How are you?
You know, Damon, you hit it on the head all the time, man. It's been a while since I've called, but I've been listening.
Thank
but
you.
But you're right, man. Azealy gave them absolutely nothing. Barnes gave them absolutely nothing. And, you know, we make excuses. Yes, Cleveland beat them. Obviously, we know that. But the thing is that you talk about coming close, man. 4 minutes. They spent an entire season building on that record. And then it was in 4 minutes to piss it away, excuse my language, that like that. For four minutes, man, come on, man. That's not Warrior basketball.
They go 0-9 and they lose. They go 1-9 and they might have won the whole thing. That's how close this was.
Absolutely. And the thing is that, as I told everybody that I've talked to, the only way the Warriors would lose, they have to beat themselves. Is that Cleveland was not a better team. And normally in basketball or team sports, the best team wins. But the Warriors were far better than any other team in the NBA. They beat themselves, my friend.
I agree. I agree, and I'm not trying to undercut the Cavaliers so the Warriors look taller here. But the Golden State Warriors were as in the middle of their shortcomings as any defensive strategy the Cavaliers were employing against them. They were sloppy unto themselves before the Cavaliers made them even more sloppy. I mean, how about a layup? Did the Warriors knock down a layup, a single layup in the final? The Warriors were incapable of hitting anything easy around the rim. And then they stopped trying. Ted's in Sausalito. What's up, Ted? How are you?
I mean, how about a layup? Did the Warriors...
Oh, Ted, we caught you not following the rules. I'm sure you were told by our good call screeners that you should turn your radio all the way down and listen on the phone. We'll come back to you in a minute. But right now, you're in the cone of shame, Ted. We'll get to you in just a second. Laker Matt calling from Concord. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Damon? Just real quick, don't let my name fool you. Yes, I am a Lakers fan, but I've been a great admirer, living in a house full of Warriors fans of this team this year. I think first off, man, the last caller, dude, Harrison Barnes, yes, he is a starter. He's a role player. Azealy is a role player. Yes, Azealy messed up in game 7, but to blame it on two role players, and I know he wasn't implying that that's the only reason they lost, but bottom line is, where was Clay in game 7? Where was Curry in game 7? And you talked about that article, you know, with the Warriors, their place in the future of the game. I think, yes, they have changed the game, and we're going to see that. We're going to see Warrior ball from a lot more teams, but I think it's a cautionary tale. You can't rest on your laurels. You can't. It doesn't matter what you did during the regular season as far as coming back. It doesn't matter how many threes you've made in the regular season. It wasn't there in game 7, and they lived by the three, they died by the three, and it hurt them. You have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much. You do the same. We'll try Ted in Sausalito again. We gave him a mulligan at the tee box. We'll see if he's ready to hit now. What's going on?
Hey, you there, Devin?
I'm here, Ted.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I kept getting dropped in Sausalito. Hey, listen, man, I'm from the Bay Area. I'm 41. I love the Warriors. And for what they did for us, bringing the championship home the other year, you know, we're crazy about them. And an expectation of them to improve on that, unfortunately, it started by them just winning the first 24 games, you know. And for any criticism about how they play or whatever, then so much expectation was piled on them. It was a mountain. In the end, because we love them, I just didn't want anybody to be able to say, you know, I didn't want James Worthy to be able to say back in, you know, 85, the NBA, you know, shut up, James.
Right.
We won a championship.
How this affects fans more than anything else, because you don't get a player share. They're not going to send you your ring. They don't charge you less money for defending champion tickets. They actually charge you more. Like, the only benefit from the fans is all of these critics would have to shut their mouths. And now they have more ammunition than ever.
We want that for them. Now they have to start over. They're going to have to run into Patrick Beverley, and he's going to say something under his Band-Aid or whatever. They're gonna have to earn it back one game at a time. They went across this great land and beat everyone's butt in their gyms all year, and they almost got even the old timers to shut their mouths. And then in the end, they picked the ball on the 1 yard line.
It hurts. It does, man. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Glad you stuck with us through your lousy cell phone reception in Sausalito. Look, today was Skip Bayless's last day on ESPN, which means the chances of me watching ESPN in the morning just went up radically. Like, I'm sure Skip Bayless is a really good guy. I know he's just playing a part, but it's a part that I detest so much. I mean, he is the Joffrey of sports. He is. I just hate him. He's there to be hated. That's his job. He's playing his role perfectly. But he is the King Joffrey of sports in my mind. I don't get it. And, you know, if you are happy with Skip Bayless, if you're a fan of his, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't understand why unreasonable sports pundits thrive. We know the world's round. He insists it's flat and gets a $6 million deal with another network.
That's crazy.
Sounds like a good Tuesday trifecta topic coming up next hour.
Hint, hint.
Chris is in Oakland. Chris, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Damon. Hey, you know, one of the most disappointing people for me this series was Klay Thompson. You know, he talked a real good game a lot, and you know, we're better than the Showtime Lakers.
He was only asked LeBron. About his dad's team. He wouldn't have said that if someone hadn't asked him directly about his dad's team. That's all.
I accept that, but you know, the Splash Brothers, they kind of disappointed me. They kind of turned into a dribble to this Game 7 and this series, final series, and also. Another thing is that Steph Curry, you know, some of the things that he did, that behind the arm pass and all these things, I think Kerr needs to rein him in certain situations and some of these, you know, Showtime-like passes he's making in these last critical moments of the game.
Yeah,
you know, that was kind of ridiculous to me.
And he had tried to throughout the year. Kerr's quote about saying, look, it's a game, not a show. Stop trying to put on the show. Let the game take care of the show itself. And, you know, how do you take an instinctual player and say you should be less instinctual? Like, Steph Curry's instincts, probably more than the desire to make a highlight on ESPN SportsCenter that night, Steph Curry's instincts told him behind the back is the right thing to do here. His instincts were wrong. He needs to get his instincts a little bit more in tune with the situation as it's presenting it itself to him. You know, every single official, no matter who the officiating crew, is calling you for leaning in and reaching, Steph. You want to stop doing that for three games in a row? He didn't. Steph Curry didn't play 39 minutes in the last game of the year because his knee hurt. He played 39 minutes because he was in foul trouble in Game 7 as an MVP on his home court. And it was a combination of some bad calls followed by awful reaches. He fouled out of a game and came back playing the same way. He fouled out and was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the exact same stuff next game. You're better than that, Steph. We know it. You know it. And that's why the disappointment is thick. Jay in Daly City wants some positive Warrior vibes. I thought that article did a pretty good job. Jay, how are you?
Thank you. You're doing well. Thank you. Yeah, I just want to say thank you to the Warriors and Steve Kerr. I appreciate this wonderful year. I still believe and always will believe that they are the best ever today. And because what I noticed through the whole playoffs that they were allowing – contact after their shot go. That's what the refs were doing through the whole playoffs and especially during the Cavaliers playoffs. And then all of a sudden you see LeBron James choke and miss the three And then now here's the ref blowing the whistle, rolling the red carpet, and carrying LeBron James to the free throw. Oh, you messed up. We'll fix it for you, LeBron. Go ahead and shoot those free throws.
Well, Azealy fouled him. That's why he shot those free throws, because Azealy doesn't know how to defend on the perimeter, and he lunged at.
That was the game plan of the whole Cavaliers, is make a little contact on the Warriors after they shoot, and then now they so magically just blow the whistle from LeBron as soon as the clock was going. I saw the Warriors up four, and LeBron choked and missed the three, and they said, uh-oh, we got to blow the whistle on that one. That's what I saw. That's the whole thing was messed up. They put a hit on Bogut. They suspended Draymond.
They put a hit on Bogut. Stop it. You had me right up until hit on Bogut. I thought I gave you a very long leash, and it was so long that you ran off the porch just far enough to hang yourself over the railing. Martin in Richmond. Hopefully a little more well-reasoned. How are you, Martin?
Hey, D-Man, you got everything right. Gianna, I love your name. My little girl's name, Gianna. I'm telling you, you got to learn your basics. It's A, B, C. That's basics. Stop doing the fancy shit and play the game.
Oh,
that's
hey, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. What we had there is someone who really just wanted to talk sports with us and felt a little so comfortable, he went a little casual.
It happens.
It does happen. I know when there's a caller trying to get a swear word on the air, and I know when
it just happens.
A just conversational slip happened. So absolution is yours. I'm not even mad. But what we will do is take a break, and when we come on back, everyone who's on hold, please stay tuned. We're going to get to you when we're done talking with Brian Windhorst. Brian Windhorst covers not only LeBron James's entire career from the dawn of it till today better than anybody else, but he does a great job covering the rest of the NBA as well for ESPN. He joins us next, then your phone calls. Then we're going to have to clear the phone board entirely because a Tuesday trifecta comes up at 5:30, and I think you are going to find it will be served to you reasonably here on the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.